This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to stay tuned to the St. Pete City Hall broadcast from RadioSt.Pete.com. The City Hall broadcast is a podcast designed to give you an informal look inside your city government. Here is your host, Will Koontz.
Hello, folks. Welcome to another edition of the City Hall broadcast. My name is Will Koontz. Joining me back this week, we have one of my two fellow amigos who help host this thing. Kevin King, back from your illustrious vacation. I saw the pictures of you and Ben underneath the Eiffel Tower holding each other. That was very nice, adorable pictures.
You always start off like making remarks like that.
Yes.
We were not on vacation. We were just busy. You know, sometimes work gets in the way.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
And so we're sorry we missed you last week, but you had a good interview with our marketing manager.
Me and Nina had a good chat, yeah. Very informative.
It was. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed listening to it. And good to be back this week. And Ben may join us sometime during the show.
He's still unpacking from the trip.
He is. We had a good time in Paris. Yeah.
Did you see the email that Joe sent today?
I did. So let me see if I can recap this. Someone in, is it Richmond, Virginia?
Yes.
Someone in Virginia wants to model their city after Radio St. Pete, after what Joe's done with Radio St. Pete.
Mm-hmm, correct.
He's got some experience in Richmond, I believe.
Yeah, I think he lived there for many years.
So Radio St. Pete's becoming a model for others and only getting better.
And what he was saying was that as far as he and this other person knows, that this is the only city in the country that's doing a podcast like this.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
New and innovative things happening.
Another great idea that I've had. Yeah. So I'm really excited to see the fruits of my labor paying off. Today's guest.
Wait. Whose idea?
It's my idea.
To do Radio St. Pete?
To do the City Hall
podcast. Oh, the City Hall broadcast specifically.
Yes. Not. I can't take credit for Radio St. Pete.
Right, no. So I don't know that City Hall broadcast was your idea, but I know
you brought it up to Ben a while ago.
You like to revise history.
Just run with that.
No, okay. It was. Credit to Will Koontz. He brought us this idea. And I think we built on and improved and made it to what it is.
Okay, I can get on board with this. Yes.
We made it to the juggernaut that it is today.
Yes, maybe you know, did a little tweaks here and there and turned it into this massively successful local podcast.
I don't think we ever imagined in a million years that we'd have the kind of guest that we're getting, like Chris Balestra.
Yes, which is today's guest, by the way.
Well, thank you for having me, Will.
Thank you for coming in. I appreciate you taking the time to come speak with us today. Chris is behind pretty much the new pier scenario. You're taking the reins. You're reeling it in. So tell us what's going on with the pier.
Reeling it in is the exact, that's the operative word. We've been working it for many years, gone through a lot of great stuff, actually, with the community, as a city, learned a lot. Had a lot of fun, sometimes even stressful situations can produce really great results. And I think we're moving forward with a project that satisfies all the objectives that everybody's asked for to date. We're about 2 years away from grand opening.
Grand opening of?
The new St. Pete Pier.
Wait, what? It's not built yet.
We haven't put a shovel in the ground yet. We plan to do that in the spring, but it's a big project, about 18 months of construction, so by the end of 2018 we're looking forward to having a big party for this new asset in the city.
So what's opening?
Well, the Pier District is about 26 acres of our waterfront that right now is inactive, came offline in 2013. Not much different from the last time the pier got rebuilt. It was closed from 1967 to 1973. It was down for about 6 years. So we'll be, you know, it'll be out of commission for about 5 years. But the good news is through everything we've worked so hard with the community on and with the mayor's direction, we're in a really good place. The product, great designers, great program. It's moving in a direction that I think is going to keep the community happy and be a flexible platform so that over time it can adjust, change, and grow with where the community wants to go.
So the pier isn't just the pier. There's a district. So what are the border lines of this area?
Sure, yeah. Along downtown St. Pete's waterfront is Bayshore Drive northeast, and that's the beginning of the Pier District. You go through about a 20-acre piece of land and then 5 acres over water. That's the pier that everybody's referred to is for the last I don't know, since the 60s. It's really just been the overwater pier. There hasn't been anything else. And that's really the driver of this entire design, is to make sure that there's activity throughout, is to spread the activity so there's not just a prize at the end, but there's basically a series of rooms that you walk through, experiences connected by parks. So it's a very cool concept, and we're moving along quick here.
Are there going to be more buildings built than just the pier itself? So we're talking along this waterfront, structures are going to be built as well?
Small, yeah. Yeah, we've got a couple of restaurants. We're looking at providing areas for a lot of play, both family and children. Right when you step off of Bayshore, we're looking forward to a really exciting marketplace. Not a Saturday morning market, but something much smaller in scale, but something that gives entrepreneurs, small businesses, an opportunity to buy and sell goods. So that's going to be an exciting opening. Right now, you pretty much are walking down a whole lot of pavement to get to a parking lot to take you to the pier. So the minute you step off towards the water, you've got things going on.
Look who decided to come in.
Oh, look who it is. Ben Kirby in the building. How are you, bud?
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What happened, Ben?
You know, I was looking at the mayor's remarks. That's what I was doing.
Oh, you were doing actual work.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the pier, Ben. You probably already know.
We got Chris Ballester here.
Hi, Chris.
Hello, Ben. Welcome back.
And we got food this time?
I brought some almonds. Could you guys hear me eating those almonds?
I couldn't hear. No.
I don't know if I picked that up or not. Isn't that a rule? You shouldn't eat when you're hosting a show.
Probably a good idea not to.
He's got the industrial size Red Bull.
Yeah,
you can have some almonds.
I'm running on fumes here.
So Will's been interviewing Chris on the pier,
right?
I want to jump in for a second because stop on something. Will, where were you on the buildings? There's gonna be some small buildings along the approach on the way out to the sort of main event. Possibly two restaurants.
At least two restaurants.
One restaurant at the sort of mid-level on the south side of the pier.
That's correct, yeah.
And then one at the end of the pier.
One at the end of the pier, and we're working towards a cafe as well in the middle.
So my question was for Will is, what kind of restaurant would you like to see at the pier?
Oh, man. There's so much here that I can't even keep up with what's here downtown. I don't even know where. What are we lacking? What are we missing?
Let's back up.
Seems like there's.
What's your favorite restaurant in St. Pete?
Oh no, I'm gonna get put on the spot.
In the world.
In the world.
In the universe.
Well, that's pretty much my world. Pretty much consists of Pinellas County. Yeah. I haven't really been too much else. That's probably I guess Engine Number 9 is good.
Okay.
I like their
good
burgers.
Choice.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Yeah. I haven't been to too many places though. I haven't even been to any of the places at the Sundial.
Right.
None mm-hmm. of them, because I'm poor.
Well, and no shoes, no shirt, no service.
Yeah, true.
There you go. True.
Yeah.
Well, so Chris is going to have an Engine 9 down at the pier.
There'll be an Engine 9 and whatever else you want.
Smoothie stand.
Just text me and then we'll go from there.
Ice cream?
There will absolutely be ice cream at the pier.
Burritos.
Burritos, hot dogs. We want the goal is kid
Chicago dogs.
Family friendly, fun, reasonably priced. Something that everybody can enjoy. So
speaking of food, can I ask Chris a question?
Yeah.
One of the things we talked about on the approach was food trucks or food stands. Mm-hmm. Is that still? I haven't heard that discussed in a while. Is that still an option or?
It is absolutely. It's a part of it. We're making sure that the design, the layout, and the connectors can provide a great space for food trucks. In fact, that entire marketplace area, you could wrap food trucks along the marketplace so people can walk down the middle with food trucks on the side.
That's one
location, and we've got a couple of more. So, yeah, we're absolutely trying to think through. It's a great, great thought, and we're keeping that in the program.
I like that, too. I know they had that idea of that place that's on 4th Street and, I don't know, 17th or something like that, where they were going to put those, like, you rent a space for a little while for 6 months.
That was at the North. No, that was at the North Ward
Hotel.
Yeah, where that
hotel.
Hotel.
What's his name?
Jonathan Dow.
Dow, yeah.
Yeah.
And it didn't come to fruition, but I really love the idea of that because you get such a variety that comes in.
So we may have something like that at the pier with the arts, with the artists doing that.
Exactly. Through the marketplace, there's a great opportunity to have a variety and rotating artists with things potentially for sale. And if for some reason, it's closed at night, we'll have fold-up places that display artwork on the outside. So it's inviting looking, even when there aren't, you know, a lot of people there in the middle of the night. So
I love that. That's great. Are we on schedule for the pier as far as the building?
We are. Yeah, we're right on schedule. We're looking forward to getting a permit and breaking ground in the spring. Sometime in the March, April timeframe, we're hoping that that comes together. And again, as mentioned, about an 18-month construction window. A lot of it starts out over the water. That marine construction is pretty heavy duty, and we'll be driving about 500 pilings out there over a 6 or 7 month period.
I had heard a rumor about the old pier, because some people had talked about, well, just sink some money into the old pier, you know, and refix it up, refab it. But I had heard that it was so rotten underneath that it was about to implode. Is that true, or is that something I just heard?
That's not true.
Okay.
Yeah. Now what is true is it had a separate foundation just for that building, and we think that was probably okay, that foundation. But the reality is everything else around it, all the way back to land, was built in 1926, and that absolutely was falling into the bay. Mm-hmm. There's a half-truth in there. But could it have been rebuilt? It probably could. Through lots of activity and community involvement from every architect that multiple competitions we went through, we probably had 50 internationally acclaimed architects looking at this project. There was only one that looked at a rebuild alternative. I take it back, two, literally out of 50. So ultimately, we moved forward with what was originally called Pier Park. Now we just call the whole thing the Pier District.
How did this new pier even come to be? Who was the brainchild behind that idea of rebuilding and restructuring?
The pier side itself was started with a competition proposal by a gentleman named Rob Rogers, Rogers Partners Architects in New York City. And he's got, again, an acclaimed resume. He's working on Constitution Gardens right now in Washington, D.C., a lot of other very impressive projects around the country. Humble. You would never know he's in the elite world of architects. He's kind of a regular guy, and he's laid out a very good design that spreads the activity like we really wanted and needed for 30 or 40 years over the whole pier, versus just a whole bunch of parking lots leading to the quote-unquote prize at the end.
Just quickly, Will, you can go to our YouTube page, or actually even, is it Chris, is it newstpetepier.com?
Yeah, it's .com.
And there's some video introductions of the design team. I'm pretty sure Rob Rogers is one.
Yeah.
Some of the other folks that are behind the design are featured as well. So you can really get to know the folks behind it.
So Rob and his partner Vince up in New York are great partners of the city, but I also have to just throw a shout out to they're partnered with a local architectural firm in Ybor City called ASD, and John Curran and Kenneth Cowart are leading the charge locally. So the combination of that team, and then on the pier approach, we have another architect. Again, Wanamaker Jensen, two blocks away up the street from City Hall here, along with W Architecture in New York. So we have a collage of great architects that we're working with, and we couldn't ask for better advice as we pull this thing together. Between them and the input we get from the community, it's coming together.
Yeah, I know you sent out that, or the city sent out that questionnaire, basically asking what you want to see at the new pier. How many people filled that out?
Seven.
Oh boy.
Seven people. I was one. I filled it out.
No, it was well filled out. It was.
Yeah, there was There was several. There was one in 13 that was over 1,000 people, statistically valid survey. Then the mayor, first thing he did when he came on board is he did what's called a pier working group. And we did a survey there that had 1,400 responses, and the results were about the same in terms of what people wanted. So it gave us a real consistent platform of making sure we deliver the right thing at the end.
Chris mentioned all the caliber of the architects involved, and it was kind of neat seeing all these really amazing world-class architects, whether it's the actual pier or the pier district, the uplands, which is phase one of the waterfront master plan, basically, kind of a reflection of where we are as a city. There was some thought about after the lens design had gone away, who would want to be engaged in this process again. It was kind of a very political. It was kind of a ugly process for a while, a lot of dissatisfaction. And it ended up where, and the mayor was really confident, I think, that world-class architects would come back and be involved. And these are some of the best. And it's really a reflection of kind of where St. Pete is.
Yes, I like the new design much better than the lens. Was not bonkers about the lens design. I know the city received a lot of blowback over that lens design.
Well, we did. I lived through it. And while I did like the lens design, this project has not only grown on me, I saw the light. This is the right way to go for this city, absolutely. And it matches the programmatic, you know, everything, all the surveys, all the community input we did. It answers the question that people want in terms of activity. And it's a public works project. It's a combination of, you know, parks, passive and active spaces. So it covers, it's trying to do a lot of things for a lot of people. And it does it in a way that keeps a project that's flexible. Things can be added or subtracted to it 10, 20, 30 years from now. It's being designed for a 75-year lifespan. So, you know, you sort of got one chance, one generation to get it right here. I just appreciate everybody's input along the way.
The best thing I heard during the selection process, we had a scientist as one of the members on the team that picked this design. It's Gary Mitchum.
Yeah.
And the night of the vote, he said, everyone keeps talking about an icon. What's our next icon going to be? And to me, the icon is our waterfront park system. And this design is an extension of our waterfront park system. And that was the sort of the switch for me.
Yeah.
Is this is like a whole new way of thinking about the icon. It doesn't have to be this inverted pyramid.
Yeah. So what's been some of the struggles and successes you've had so far along this journey?
Well, the struggles, I think, are the ones that you normally come across in dealing with a diverse community like we have, is that everybody's got a different opinion. And so you work hard to try to find the common ground components, the things that rise to the top. And whether it was surveys, whether it was task forces, we've done a lot of work to arrive at the common elements that have risen to the top over multiple years. The really first big kickoff on what does the city want was a peer advisory task force. And their report, which was it was a 14-month project that was delivered in 2010, and the results of that very closely match what we're doing today. And the other, so again, that those, but that's a hard process. That doesn't always come easily. It's a lot of labor of love working with people who are, some have very diametrically opposed opinions. The best parts of the process are yet to come. I see the results. I see a lot of design elements that the public hasn't seen yet. We put everything we can up on the web, but there's a lot more coming. And so I think there's just a fantastic project coming. We have, we've got the third largest connected waterfront in North America behind Chicago and Vancouver. That's a pretty impressive thing, and you got to get it right. So with a project like this, it's not necessarily an icon. It's just a piece of a larger landmark puzzle. And that's what brings people to St. Pete. They're coming here for the lifestyle when it comes down to it. There hopefully is a job attached to it and other things, but there's so much going on here. This is one piece of it. And this will be the first part of the Downtown Waterfront Master Plan process. It's a big part. It's an anchor. It's the vision you see on the news every night when the helicopter flies by. So it's been very positive overall.
You mentioned, these new businesses that are going to be opening with the pier. How many jobs can you expect to, what am I saying?
Hospitality jobs that
are going to form from this new pier.
Yeah, on average, we've got starting out with two larger restaurants. And on average, they generally have about 75 employees each, a combination of full and part-time. We have just the management team alone with all of the service people involved in that would be about 20 people, not the management, but the actual people taking care of the project. So long and short is when you start adding it, there's a lot of smaller pieces across a bigger area. There'll be several hundred jobs. just to run, operate, and provide service to the public at this pier. And it'll be comparable to where what we had previously.
I think what Will's asking is, will there be a job for him at the new pier? And he doesn't. He just won't come out and say it. Can
I
we
got enough jobs? I got
can we
jobs.
Guarantee that there will be something for Will to do at the new pier?
We're going to have to create money. A job. We're going to have to create one because you're such a unique individual.
Yes,
I think we're going to have to carve out a very specific.
Maybe a mascot type of thing where you wear this fuzzy suit.
We'll need a pier mascot, yeah.
To do the sign spinner.
Yeah. No, we don't want that.
I was just in Venice Beach a few weeks ago, and I saw some things that are perfect for you, and you know, from chainsaw juggling to there's things that we can, I think, tee up out at the new St. Pete Pier.
Did we just learn Chris was hanging out in Venice Beach a few weeks ago? Did you go down there for the pier, like to scout out stuff?
I used to live in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's right.
Years ago, so I was
getting inspired.
Exactly. I visited some friends and have seen the Santa Monica Pier many right. times.
You know, Chris plays a mean guitar too. We've never heard it.
that's why I keep saying that to people, and hopefully I'll never have to do it publicly. So that's my goal.
So Ben wrote something out. He wants to say something. Can we find space for Ben in the broadcast?
No. Is this what I'm supposed to say?
Yeah. Go ahead, Ben.
So I think
whenever you're ready, go ahead.
Okay. Am I? I'm.
Whenever.
Actually, let's move on.
Yes. Let's not actually announce this right now.
No, Ben. Go ahead, Ben. He's got big,
is
big
the
news.
Demolition complete by the time of this broadcast?
Yeah, the overwater demolition is about complete.
Yeah, yeah, that's good news. I just am excited.
It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. That was arguably the most challenging part of the whole project because, interestingly, everybody forgets, you know, history. When that inverted pyramid came on board, it looked like something that dropped in our waterfront from outer space. It was not well liked at all. But over time, it served a function. It became a part of the locals' DNA, including myself. And so everybody loved it, and that's great. It became St. Pete's landmark or icon.
No, it didn't, though. That's the here's the thing about that I feel that people only liked it because it was going away, and it was something that they were just used to. It's like when you're in a loveless marriage and then, you know, your spouse dies or something. I don't know. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to miss that gal.
This is definitely the darkest.
But you know what I'm saying, though? People,
yeah, it's awful.
I think people just got upset about it because it was going to be something new. It was going to be a change. They walk in the park. They're used to seeing this thing. And they're not going to see it anymore. And it's like, why weren't you going down and buying your pier keychains?
Can we speak to this a little bit? Because you asked Chris a couple questions ago about some of the challenges. And Kevin would agree, Chris would agree, the pier has been tied up in politics for a long time. I don't know that Chris would necessarily frame it that way, but it has. I mean, the lens went to a referendum, it went to a vote, and the whole issue became political. And I think we've moved to a point now that we've never gotten to before. The old thing is demolished, it's done.
It's acceptance.
It's acceptance. Something new is coming, and I think that's where you're coming from a little bit, is this thing has been in question for a really long time, a number of years, and now we have a plan. It's really attractive. It expands the waterfront park system. A lot of good stuff is coming, and people love it.
I think what Will was saying is he just didn't really like it that much.
No, I was fine. The pier was fine. I would go down, and I would...
Did you get a fudge sample?
Huh?
Fudge sample?
No, I don't think I've ever done that.
What I used to do is ride
the bike down and then go to Johnny Reno's and have a drink on
Chris
Saturdays.
Chris Blester brought some photographs with him to the show,
which are great for radio.
Yeah, it makes perfect fantastic sense. For radio. It's funny because I only carry this in my little pad of paper here just to remind me. And this, is probably the most important part. This is just a picture of my kids feeding pelicans.
Hang on, let's hold this up for the people at home.
For the people at home. Yeah, watch it. But to your point of the, was the inverted pyramid cool or an icon or what have you, and I don't think that's really even the right question. I think particularly for public infrastructure projects, it's all about creating moments. So it was a very important building for people who grew up here because they grew up with it. They learned to fish. They fed the pelicans and what have you.
It was the fabric of the city.
It was. Yeah. And so it almost didn't matter. And again, we have an amazing building that'll be at the end. Right. We've got an education. We've got all these great things. But I think the important thing for the people, particularly growing up today, this will be their pier, and they will get to create their own moments there. So that to me is what is what it's all about.
That's a better way of saying it. That's pretty much what I meant.
Ben and Will, do you want to describe this picture for the people listening?
You're the radio
guy. Two children, and they look, one looks kind of afraid.
These are
one
his daughters.
Looks very happy, and they're dropping fish below onto feasting dinosaurs. That look like dinosaurs. They're pelicans.
It's a Jurassic Park.
The pelicans are enormous in this picture. It's a little bit alarming.
Yeah. It's from eating so much food at the old bait house.
But what's cool is this is, I mean, Chris has this picture of his daughters, but that a picture like that exists a million times over.
Right.
And
I'm pretty sure my dad has one of me doing the same thing.
It really was. I mean, growing up in St. Pete in the 80s and 90s, that's where you went. You went to the pier. You brought out-of-towners to the pier. The Bounty was parked there for a long time. Right. I mean, it was a little campy, but it was all St. Pete. It was just like pure St. Pete.
Right.
And so it is about creating memories, and we're excited to start making new ones.
So 18 months for this new one is expected to be finished and all ready to go at that point?
Yes, absolutely.
From 18 months from today?
From January. Call it from January.
So next summer or
fall of 18.
Fall of 18. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, fall of 18. We'll know more once we get the actual pilings in the water. That's going to drive everything else.
So that probably takes the longest too. I notice even with these buildings that get built, like all of a sudden, once I get the foundation done, then it's up.
It goes quick. Goes a lot quicker after that. Yeah. So that's where you've got the opportunity for things to be more challenging over water. And of course, we'll be going through a couple of weather cycles, and we'll be heading right into the summer rain season. So, in any case, it'll all happen. We've got great people on the team.
We got a special guest joining us right now.
Oh, okay.
You can have my mic. Okay.
She said that's okay.
India is Wayne Atherholt's assistant.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's actually she's a cultural affairs coordinator. She's much more than his assistant, but she does help Wayne every day.
Right on.
It's good to see you.
It's nice to be seen.
We're doing a podcast.
It's fabulous.
Thank you.
So one last question before we wrap this thing up. Is it on budget? Are we working within the numbers that we set out?
Yeah, we don't have a choice. The city set the budget a long time ago for this project. We did use some money on the prior project, so the budget shrank a little bit. The mayor, with a lot of effort with the county, did a great job of expanding it to include what we call the approach. Long and short is that it will be on budget. It has to. There's other elements that I think all of us may want beyond what the opening will have. But the good news is I think what we've got is a deliverable, which is everything that we wanted it to be. And there's nothing that prevents us from adding things down the road. So we're pretty excited to be where we are right now.
Nice. All right. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
How'd you do at the Best of the Bay?
I didn't get nothing this time. I think Creative Loafing's mad at me. I got hired by them and quickly fired by them.
Wow. We were there. A guy who doesn't have a podcast won Best Podcast.
Drew Garabo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know Drew from.
Can you? I'm familiar. Can we work on that with this one? I think we have a goal for next year.
Best of the Bay.
Best of the Bay.
Yeah,
I'm all in. We gotta start promoting this thing, which I want to talk to you about.
And the mayor won some awards at Best of the Bay.
Yeah, you guys took home four, right?
Best city, best downtown, best neighborhood. I think was downtown.
Downtown.
He got an award for St. Pete got best singles hangout.
Yep.
And then he got recognition for the Cross Bay Ferry. Catalyst, Tampa Bay Catalyst.
Yeah, pushing it over the top.
And then there's something else. And then Terry Tomlin was recognized. So that was kind of
nice.
Yeah.
Paddle out.
Yeah. So it was a cool night, but we were pulling for you.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
That's all right.
Oh, well.
There's always next year, Will.
There is. We're going to get Drew Garabo in here, too, I hear.
We like Drew.
Some point. He says he's down, from what I understand. He actually mentioned me on air, I heard. My friend texted me and said that he was saying that he doesn't even have a podcast and won Best Podcast.
How does that happen?
Because
how does that?
Here's how it works.
I mean,
so
explain yourself.
You submit, like somebody will say, they'll say, we're taking submissions for Best of the Bay. So they don't narrow them down. Whatever they get, like I want Homemade Broadcast, for example, for Best Podcast. Yeah. They'll take that one. They'll take whoever else is pitching them their way, and then they put this online form up later, and you vote. So I think the previous year, they didn't put anything down where you could vote only once, so people were just vote over and over again. This year, I think they did do something about that, as far as I know. I don't know how, something in computers.
I mean, if you don't have a podcast, you shouldn't be able to win best podcast,
well,
but I won
Drew
best hair.
Podcast. So. Yeah. But, it's a goofy system. Yeah. They should find another way. They should just do it themselves.
But you know what? We like Creative Loafing. They're friends.
Sure, of course.
They do a great job in the community.
Definitely.
Fantastic. Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for coming on, guys. Nice to see you. Glad you made it back safe from your trip.
Good to see you.
All right, right on. Check out the Homemade Broadcast Sunday, 6:15 on Radio St. Pete and on podcast hmbradio.com. Check out info on the new pier, newstpetepier.com. I'll talk to you all soon. Have a great one.
Thanks for listening to Radio St. Pete's City Hall Broadcast, an informal look inside your city government. This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to join us next time for the City Hall Broadcast.